So I got to get to the story because people, Elon Musk has taken over Twitter. And now a lot of people are upset because they think he's going to let Trump back on and they don't like Trump. And that's what it is. So they now equate free speech with hate speech. That's what the Democratic Party has done. The shit liberals have now equated free speech with hate speech, which that's a dumb equation.
By the way, they engage in it regularly.
And they agree in hate speech all the time. Elon Musk is not a renegade outsider. He's a massive Pentagon contractor. And this is articles written by Alan McLeod, who I follow on Twitter. He's a very good tweeter. And this is a good article. We covered his article, something he did before that was also good.
I had him on my show later after that, and I really liked him, Alan McLeod. Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to come on our show. So
really?
It doesn't seem like it. He came on your show? Maybe he will come on.
Yeah, I'll hit him up. I wanted to talk to him anyway.
Oh, okay. So he's always somewhere. He's like, hey, I'm traveling and I don't have my computer. And I'm like, that doesn't sound right. And he's like, oh, I'm in Europe or whatever.
Took his PayPal down, probably stifled a lot of...
Did they take his PayPal down?
Yeah, remember?
Is that the guy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So anyway, so then I like, you know, I DM'd him. I'm like, hey, you want to come on the show? And he's like, no, I'm traveling with my computer. I'm like, that's a little suspect. So then this next time, this just today, I was like, hey, I'm going to cover your story about Elon. You want to come on? And he's like, no, I'm in Europe and I can't. And I was like, are you really not? I was like, so I go, hey, do you ever want to come on the show just so I know I'm not wasting my time? Right? Bugging you. That sounds like you're scared to come on the show, but maybe he will.
Why would he come on my show if he's
scared? Well, now that I heard he came on your show.
I mean, I guess I have much less.
You have much less
chance of anyone knowing he associated with me. That's possible. But he didn't seem like that kind of guy.
He doesn't seem like that kind of guy at all. He does great work, and that's why I wanted him to come on. So I hope he comes on. But anyway, here is Musk, I'll try to get to the highlights of this. He says Musk, whose estimated $230 billion fortune.
That's like,
do you know, that's more money than a big pharma company. That's how much power he has.
It's significantly less than Alex Jones owes.
It's more than twice the gross domestic product of Ukraine. He has garnered a great deal of positive publicity for donating thousands of Starlink. So he donated Starlink terminals to Ukraine and to help its people come back online after Russia downed their communication stuff, right? So this is just one thing he's involved in, okay? Just to show you that he's in bed with the war machine. So Starlink is an internet service allowing those with terminals to connect to one of over 2,400 small satellites in low Earth orbit. Many of these satellites were launched by Musk's SpaceX Technologies company. So his own company So he's got it all contained. He's a full service guy for your internet link. However, it soon transpired that there is far more than meets the eye to Musk's extraordinary donation. All right, here it goes. The U.S. government quietly paid SpaceX top dollar to send their inventory to the war zone. USAID, a government anti-insurgency agency that has regularly functioned as a regime change organization, is known to have put up the cash to purchase and deliver at least 1,330 of those Starlink terminals. So the government...
I have a question. Wait, he just said something. Well, maybe you guys should pay me to use my Starlink, but they already did pay him?
I guess the government's paying. Yeah, I remember him tweeting that out about Ukraine, but he said it was a donation, but it seems like he's, according to this, he's getting money. Starlink is not a mass market solution. Each terminal, which is in effect a tiny portal satellite dish, has a markedly limited range and is useful only in hyperlocal situations. So this guy Fedorov, the Ukraine's minister of digital transformation, he estimated that about 10,000 Starlink terminals were allowing around 150,000 people to stay online in Ukraine. Which 150,000 people do you think are staying online in Ukraine? Do you think it's the military? Do you think it's the Nazis? Do you think it's the Azov battalion, or do you think it's regular people? Such a small number of people using the devices raises eyebrows. Who is important enough to be given such a device? Surely only high-value individuals such as spies or military operatives. That's the Starlink are serving a military purpose is now beyond clear. So Musk is in bed with the pro-war Ukraine. So he's working with the military in Ukraine. That's what he's doing. The military in Ukraine is using his service. He didn't donate it to the people. He donated it to the people who are now making sure that the people of Ukraine get pummeled by Russian military.
So what was that whole thing on Twitter? Oh, sorry. That whole thing on Twitter of like, when that same
sounded like bullshit.
Mad at him.
Sounds like bullshit. So instead, in a matter of weeks, Starlink has become a cornerstone of the Ukrainian military, allowing it to continue to target Russian forces via drones and other high-tech machinery dependent on an internet connection. One official told the Times of London that he, quote, must use Starlink to target enemy forces via thermal imaging. Starlink is what changed the war in Ukraine's favor. Russia went out of its way to blow up our communications. Now they can't. Starlink works under Katyusha fire, under artillery fire. It even works in Mariupol, one Ukrainian soldier told the dinner. The reference to Mariupol alludes to the infamous Nazi group, the Azov Battalion, who have also reportedly been using Musk's technology. Even in a subterranean cavern beneath Mariupol steelworks, Azov fighters were able to access the internet and communicate with the outside world, even doing video interviews from underground. That's right. So now Musk is providing internet service to Nazis to help fight a proxy war with Russia that is slaughtering Ukrainians. In 2015, Congress attempted to add a provision to U.S. military aid to Ukraine, stipulating that no support could go to Azov because they're frickin' Nazis. That amendment was later removed at the behest of the Pentagon, and so now we can give aid to Nazis, which Elon Musk is doing with the Starlink program. Dave Tremper, director of electronic warfare at the Pentagon, sang SpaceX's praises. How they did that, meaning Starlink and keeping Ukrainian forces online, was eye-watering to me, he said, adding that in the future, the United States military needs to be able to have that kind of agility. Such a statement is bound to get the attention of SpaceX chiefs, who have long profited from their lucrative relationship with the U.S. military. SpaceX relies largely on government contracts, there being almost no civilian demand for many of its products, especially its rocket launches. So Elon Musk is reliant on the intelligence community. He's reliant on the military-industrial complex. He's reliant on the government to fund this stuff. Not that he isn't great at what he does and that nobody else is doing this. I'm just telling you that he's not going to be a free speech warrior in the way that we would appreciate him to be at this station because he's in bed with all these people. He is them. That's where his money comes from. You think he's going to let people tell the truth about Ukraine, Syria, Russiagate, all that stuff? It's going to be the same shit. Musk's go on.
Okay, so when was this story? This is recent? Did this just come out now?
Yeah, let me see what the date is on it.
I'll go look for it.
Because okay. Here's what I'm just curious about, because it's so crazy to me. So this was the story I remember. Exclusive CNN Politics. Musk SpaceX says it can no longer pay for critical satellite service in Ukraine. Ask Pentagon to pick up the tab. So now what I want to know is, did they already quietly pay him for that? And then why is he?
Good question. Musk's company must be awarded billions of dollars in contracts to launch spy satellites for espionage, drone warfare, and other military uses. For example, in 2018, SpaceX was chosen to blast a $500 million Lockheed Martin GPS system into orbit, which is used for killing people. I'm going to guess with drones, maybe? While Air Force spokesmen played up the civilian benefit of the launch, such an increased accuracy for GPS devices, it is clear that these devices play a key role in global surveillance and ongoing drone wars. SpaceX has also won contracts with the Air Force to deliver its command satellite into orbit, with the Space Development Agency to send tracking devices into space, and with the National Reconnaissance Office to launch its spy satellites. This is kind of mind-blowing. If you care about anything, this is. I know this sounds wonky and bullshitty, but wonky and who cares? This is. This tells you everything you need to know about. Is there a billionaire outsider? Doesn't look like it.
I'm just like bewildered. Like what the whole pageant's about? If that's what was going.
I know. These satellites are used by all the big five surveillance agencies, including CIA and NSA. So he's giving them the satellites for the CIA and the NSA. Thus, in today's world, where so much intelligence gathering and target acquisition is done via satellite technology, SpaceX has become every bit as important to the U.S. war machine as more well-known companies like Lockheed Martin and Boeing. Without Musk's company, the U.S. would not be able to carry out such an invasion program of spying and drone warfare around the world. And so the article is great. Everybody should read it.
May 31st, 2022.
So this was from May 31st. So everybody should read the article because it goes on to talk about how he has more contracts, how the NASA contract saved SpaceX. And how going under the radar, how Musk... The NASA contract stopped or saved SpaceX, which is this company, from going under, and how Musk implied that he participated in a 2019 coup in Bolivia that drove Evo Morales from power over Morales's unwillingness to let foreign corporations exploit the company's vast resources of the country's vast resources of lithium. So that they need lithium to make lithium. Tesla batteries.
Wow.
And so, yeah. So
I didn't know why. At the time, I don't think I was working with the show, and I saw the Evo Morales. I'm like, oh, there's probably some commie guy. I looked it up, and I couldn't find a reason why he
was
screwed.
And so look at this. You know that wasn't in the best interest of people, the U.S. government organizing a coup against Evo Morales in Bolivia so you could obtain the lithium there. And he responds, we will coup whoever we want. Deal with it.
Well, that's freely spoken.
So he's not going to be, he's not a savior.
Wow.
He's not going to be. Also, Tesla benefits greatly from government spending, primarily by selling carbon credits to other companies. Selling carbon credits has allowed Tesla to have a market capitalization far higher than car manufacturers that sell many more vehicles than Tesla. Tesla has also benefited from nearly $1.3 billion in tax credits and tax breaks from different U.S. states. Meanwhile, between 2015 and 2018, Elon Musk paid less than $70,000 in federal income taxes. How in the fuck is he pulling that off?
I like how that's like sounds really annoying. I'm like, how did Bezos? We paid him $2 million.
Yeah.
His bill was like negative $2 million something. Like,
so while the 50-year-old businessman presents himself as a maverick science genius and an act that has garnered him legions of fans around the world, a closer inspection of his career shows he earned his fortune in a much more orthodox manner. First by being born rich, and then by striking it big as a dot-com billionaire, and finally, like so many others, by feeding from the enormous government trough.
I think what the big thing with SpaceX is before that, like that NASA contract you probably should get because the whole idea is a reusable rocket.
I'm not saying he shouldn't get any of these contracts. I'm just saying that, and I'm not saying he doesn't perform them well.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying he's not
he
even
a maverick free. I already know, thought that's that when he didn't say Assange. Like,
right.
Like, I already
he
that.
Won't say Julian Assange. That's, so that's the point of this, not to say that his companies aren't good.
Also, the coup whoever he wants a bit disturbing.
Hey, that's right.
I hear him say that.
Perhaps more seriously, though, SpaceX's close proximity to both the military and the national security state marks it out as a key cog in the machine of U.S. empire, allowing Washington to spy, bomb, or coup whoever it wants. So Elon Musk is presiding over a key cog in the U.S. empire.
So
do you really think that guy's going to be a free speech warrior?
You'll be able to talk about gender or something.
You'll be able to do that shit. It'll all be cultural warrior stuff. It won't be the real stuff.
Right. Because who cares about the real stuff? It's boring.
Yeah. It is for this reason that so much of the hysteria, both positive and negative, over Musk's ongoing purchase of Twitter is misplaced. Elon Musk is neither going to save nor destroy Twitter because he is not a crusading rebel challenging the establishment. He's an integral part of it. Elon Musk acquires Twitter and immediately bends the knee. So he immediately bent to advertisers, by the way. So maybe we should make this its own segment. But if you think Elon Musk...
You know what I think...
So here's what he said. I wanted to reach out personally to share my motivation in acquiring Twitter. There has been much speculation about why I bought Twitter, and I think about advertising. Most of it has been wrong. The reason I acquired Twitter is because it is important to the future of civilization to have a common digital town square where a wide range of beliefs can be debated in a healthy manner without resorting to violence. There is currently great danger that social media will splinter into far right-wing and far left-wing echo chambers that generate more hate and divide our country. In the relentless pursuit of clicks, much of traditional media has fueled and catered to those polarized extremes. No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. It's cratered to the establishment and the military-industrial complex and the intelligence community and to the government. It hasn't. That's bullshit.
Well, it's distracting you with nonsense things. That's what he means by polarized extremes, you know?
Yes. So that is why I bought Twitter. I didn't do it because it would be easy. I didn't do it to make more money. I did it to try to help humanity, whom I love. And I do so with humility, recognizing that failure in pursuing this goal, despite our best efforts, is a very real possibility. That said, Twitter obviously cannot become a free-for-all hellscape. All you have to do is apply the First Amendment, Elon. And if you apply the First Amendment, you're being a good American. You're someone who cares about liberty and democracy. Apply the First Amendment. You don't have to do anything else.
Why can't it be that? Is there no lithium? Why, there?
Right? I guess there's no lithium in the First Amendment. Where anything can be said with no consequences. Yes, it can be. If it breaks a law, there's already a law enforcement agencies in place to take care of someone who's breaking the law with their speech. So that's bullshit. So that's not said, that has no basis in fact, what he just said, that that Twitter obviously cannot become a free-for-all hellscape where anything can be said with no consequences. So you think the First Amendment creates a hellscape? Because that's what that's what he's saying, Kurt.
Okay, hold on. I don't think he is. See, the next line, in addition to adhering to the law of the land. So
in addition.
Right. So where he means hellscape, that's a response to them going, people are going to get on and do whatever. So I think that's what he's addressing with by hellscape. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, right. I know what you mean, but he's wrong. He's saying that the First Amendment makes a hellscape. So if people say things that hurt your feelings,
the First Amendment, because the law is the First Amendment. He's talking about making threats, terroristic threats or something. I think because.
No, he's not.
Oh, all right.
Because we already have the law for that. But he's saying he's going to add on top of that law. That's what this means when he said, in addition to adhering to the laws, in addition.
Oh, that doesn't apply.
In addition, we already have the First Amendment. He wants more censoring above the First Amendment protect. Do you understand that, right? You get that, right? He's not saying he's going to implement the First Amendment. He's saying the opposite. He's saying he's going way beyond. He's not protecting your speech. He's actually going to go extraordinarily beyond it. That's what this says. In addition, our platform must be warm and welcoming to all, where you can choose your desired experience according to your preference, just as you can choose, for example, to see movies or play video games ranging from all ages to mature.
They already have porno on Twitter.
It's already there.
Like really explicit porn.
They have the most explicit porn I've ever seen. Maybe, you know what, Kurt? Maybe I'm wrong and you're right. And so maybe it could be, maybe I'm misreading this. There's a good chance I am. And he does mean what you say. And so
in real life, it's going to coo whoever we want kind of stuff. But I think what that's meant to be. See, the thing is, that dude's right. He's not a maverick. The thing is, they've created a situation where you just go, hey, I think we should have a little bit more freedom of speech. We're supposed to get.
That's what he's doing.
You're a maverick.
Yeah.
That's what, you know,
so
it's like a.
Yeah. Do I think there will be a little bit more? There might be. And it might be around the things that you said, like the cultural things, like trans issues or bathrooms or things like that. You might have a little more freedom to say things. Right. But it not anything like we talk about with the big parties. They agree on all the things that matter. The Democrats and Republicans agree on war. They agree on bankrupting our treasury for the military industrial complex. They agree on denying you health care like the rest of the Western world. They agree on keeping you away from a living wage. They agree on kids in cages, because they both do it. They agree on all the big important things.
Yeah, right.
They
those,
do
those are your concern. Those are right. their yeah
And then Elon Musk says, I hate advertising. Elon Musk's proposed takeover of Twitter has ruffled many. Oh, so that's that. So that's that. That's the end of it.
That's amazing, that coup, whoever we want line, where I'm like I forgot the lithium. That's his big.
So maybe when he says in addition to it, maybe that doesn't mean that he. But yeah. I would bet $250 billion, if I had it, that he's not going to implement the First Amendment. Because we already have that. So why not just say I'm going to adhere to the First Amendment? Why not say that?
It's because it's to calm down people who that would set them the hell off.
Because the Democrat, first of all, because he's not. But second of all, if he did do that, they would go nuts. The establishment, the government. Democrats, they would go nuts that they would want him to censor more. And that's what that is.
Yeah, right. Well, the blue checkmark thing's funny. I was talking with somebody last night who's a writer. And that blue checkmark initially I thought was supposed to be, because I used to have people impersonate me. You know, if you're a public figure, people make like a fake thing of you and try to.
Yes.
And so I thought the blue checkmark verified.
Verified
so
that you
know it's the real guy.
That's what it's for.
And then it became over time a thing like you can't just verify. And then they'll purposely not verify you to hope someone does that to you if they don't like you. Yeah.
So now what's to stop somebody from spending $8 a month or $20 a month to say they're Jimmy Dore and they spell it with an I instead of a Y?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
And then probably an AI verifier that will spy on you. Something like that.
So I get the idea behind blue checks, but anyway, that's another segment. See, in Denver, Palm Springs, Austin, Texas, and Burbank, California after Thanksgiving. Plus, we're going to be doing a lot of shows in December in Studio City. Go to jimmydorecomedy.com for a link for all the tickets.